Kane is in the building.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm just going by what you said. You said you need to read between the fine lines. And then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a rise.
So, well, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan, can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move...
Well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot and you put me out of bounds?
So he goes on to say, Dan Patrick asks him, he says, by saying it was a racial move, then you're calling Phil Jackson a racist. And Pippen says, I don't have a problem with that. Do you think Phil was? And Pippen said, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
They're showing video. This guy pulled up video. He goes, also, Scottie Pippen either misremembered what actually happened or he's lying. Before Phil Jackson drew up the Kukoc play, Pippen was given two opportunities to seal the game for the Bulls and failed twice. And there's a video. This guy's got receipts. He's got the video of the game where Pippen takes the two shots, misses both shots, and is actually given the ball, and they set up plays for him, and Pippen misses twice. And so they end up going to Kukoc with the next play, and Kukoc hits it and hits the game.
But Scottie Pippen is just...
I mean, that's just so damaging to do stuff like... To call it a racial... They know you're a trick, Scottie. I mean, I hate to say it, but you are a Robin. You're an eternal Robin. The game, you're not built for those moments. You're not built for the game-winning moments.
That's horrible. Scottie coming here and being awful and falling down in that Lakers game. He made more money after the Bulls, and he was awful. And he just can't go away. Scottie. You're Scotty. You were.
He was ISO'd on Anthony Mason, and he tried to back it in, shoot a fall away, barely hit the rim, and then the next time down the court, Scotty comes off of a screen.
Now you're calling Phil Jackson a racist. I mean, come on, Scotty. Everything just to make yourself look better.
God.
You know what, Kevin Durant?
He literally just called him. That's like the worst pedophile racist. It's like the worst thing you can be called.
I know.
Right? And a race. And you're gonna take a guy whose career is over. He's just chilling somewhere. I don't even know what he does.
He's doing acid, smoking weed in Wyoming somewhere.
Well, with George Carl, because that's
that's what they do.
Wait, no, Don
Nelson.
Don Nelson. Nelly is all in, bro.
Yeah,
Don Nelson is all in on the weed. But that's just so that's so harmful and disrespectful to call a guy racist because he called it a play for someone else after you had tricked off the last two shots. And I mean tricked them off bad if you watch a video. The second one was a shot clock violation. So with the ball in Scottie's hands. So, and by the way, it worked. And by the way, it worked getting the ball to Kukoc, who won the game. He's just a trick. I mean, let's just be real. He's a good basketball player. But he's not the number one. He's probably always been mad about, he's always been a little salty about having to be Jordan's number two. Sure, it wasn't easy playing with Mike.
No.
I'm sure it was not easy playing with Michael Jordan. And Scottie was a great player who probably feels like he wasn't appreciated.
And this is
enough.
Some revenge for The Last Dance that he didn't get his due. He wrote his book, and if it was, he said, and in his book, he says if it wasn't for Scottie Pippen, the Bulls wouldn't have all those titles. Truth be told, Michael couldn't win before Scottie got there. He couldn't. He didn't win before. They had to get the team right, and they got the team right. But Michael was still, and Scottie just can't stand being the number two, and that his wife is doing everything with everybody now.
Oh, I don't know that, though. That's his ex.
It's his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not his wife.
No, his ex-wife. Yeah. His ex-wife. She's out there now. I mean, there's not a day you don't see, hey, look at what Larsa Pippen is doing.
That's not his ex-wife. They may be separated, but it look from Wiki's telling me there has been no
divorce.
What's
taking so long, Scotty?
Wait, they're still married?
I mean, it didn't say they were separated. I'm trying to find if they were divorced.
Oh, I think they are.
Why? Because she does stuff?
She does stuff with a lot. Yes.
What is that? That stops guys from doing stuff?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to.
Okay.
It's a sacred union.
They filed for dissolution, but I guess it hasn't been finalized yet. So I don't see that's finalized.
Oh, Scotty has a book coming out?
Yeah, that's why.
And a bourbon.
No, in his never book, mind. He said there'd be no titles without him.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. It looked like it was finalized this year. They are now divorced, but she was doing stuff.
Oh, she's been doing stuff.
Before then.
Somebody's got a picture. Scotty's dartboard since 1994, and it's a dartboard with a picture of Kukoc's face in the bullseye.
Well, hey, Mike has caught it. Kevin Durant's caught it. Phil Jackson's now caught it.
Oh, no, Scotty's trying to lay
Scotty's on a
out.
On a dartboard tour.
Well, yeah, and Scotty got what the Last Dance also did is remind people about Scottie Pippen, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was feeling all warm and fuzzy about the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot how bad it was with Pippen's headaches and Pippen sitting on the bench refusing to go in. And like, oh, my gosh, I forgot how Scotty had that little run. I just kind of forgotten about it. You know, time had passed and I hadn't really focused on it. That kind of brought it back. And I'm sure for Scottie Pippen, that probably was like, okay, we're going to do this now, huh? And then almost immediately he was on the radio shows doing like, you know, LeBron is actually better than Michael Jordan. He had changed. He had previously said the opposite, but then Scotty flipped it. Like, you know, upon further thought here.
Let's get Kirk in here. He wants to talk about the NBA officiating. What's going on, Kirk?
Not too much, guys. How are y'all?
What do you say?
I wanted to bring up, as you guys were talking about Scott Foster and all that, and Lance, I know you said you're not into the conspiracy theories and all of that, but a buddy of mine turned me on to a podcast that's called Whistleblower.
Oh, it's Tim.
Heard it or not.
What's his name?
What's that?
It's a former ref, right?
It was the one that got caught gambling.
Yeah.
He's kind of the centerpiece of it. But the get behind the podcast is like 8 episodes, and the whole get behind it is there. Proposing that the NBA is more WWE than it is actual athletic competition, using specifically the officiating. And
I have heard that's damning, though.
It's ruined so much for me.
Yeah, Tim Donaghy is he's on that podcast, and I actually have, you know, I'm glad you brought that point up. I have not heard it, and I have heard the same thing. And for a referee who's been involved, to say stuff like that is pretty damning. That's another thing basketball will never, you know.
That's y'all's point, too. Scott Foster is a big portion of that. Scott Foster and Dick Pavetta are the two hammers.
And Joey Crawford, too.
And it wasn't about trying to necessarily make a certain team win, but it was always about extending series. It was always about making sure. And they bring up that Rocket series against the Mavericks when they were up 2-0. And how they pointed out Yao Ming when Jeff Van Gundy got his fine and all that. And it just stung to hear all that again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, yeah. No. And listen, Sacramento, what Donaghy said about that Lakers series, awful for Sac. Awful. He threw that game. Joey Crawford was a known series. They bring in Joey. He's the cooler. He's going to cool off a hot team so that series will go longer. That was his job. And Donaghy admitted Joey Crawford never did, but it seemed awful fishy whenever Joey was doing a game and the call and some of the calls. No, absolutely, it's terrible. It's terrible, Kirk, to think that how many games were we watching that weren't legit, that weren't on the up and up. I thought that Sacramento Lakers series was awesome. Until I found out, oh crap! The refs made that series awesome.
Yeah, Sacramento should have won that in six.
Yeah, they should have won that in six. And Tim Donaghy decided, nope, I need a little cash. I'm gonna put a little cash in my pocket.
I will say, because this could come up. Somebody found, so in Phil Jackson's book Maverick, Phil had some comments that might.
Well, LeBron's posse. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. But I can see where people, he's talking about selfish basketball versus team basketball. And the differences in players in the league. Now, this is in 76. This is, I'm just going to read what was taken out of, I don't know if this is an article, but this is, I guess, what was said in the book Maverick in 1976. It wouldn't shock me if this gets a lot of airplay today from a standpoint of, once the Scottie Pippen stuff is discussed, people are going to unearth this.
What's Maverick about?
It's a book he wrote about himself. Remember in 76, he was kind of a...
Who, Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different guy in the league. And these are all quotes, apparently, from the book. White players are more often willing to run patterns and to work collectively because of the... And I don't know how often this is taken. And this is a collection of comments, so you never know if anything's taken out of context.
Right.
I'm just going to read them as they're presented. Because of the predominance of blacks in pro basketball, the sport is rapidly disintegrating into a one-on-one sport. There are only five or six NBA teams who play with more than superficial degree of team unity. On the Knicks, the starting front court played white basketball while guards played black basketball. It's not funny. Stop laughing. I'll go on further. Black kids growing up want to be the superstar of their neighborhood. They want to be the toughest kids on the block, the richest, or once they get to the playground, the best one-on-one basketball players. White kids, on the other hand, usually are raised in a more homogenous environment, which provides other outlets for personal expression. It's not funny, guys. This is, y'all are reading this wrong. They're also constantly being taught the principles of subordinating their own personal glory for the good of the group. Now, to be fair to Phil...
Altruistic. Whitey.
Now, this person wrote... Now, to be fair to Phil, he wrote Maverick in 76, a time when racial politics... And views were very different from now. So surely as the years passed, he grew as a human being.
We don't know that.
Changed, right?
We don't know about that.
We don't know that.
He called Tony Kukoc to take the last shot.
This is clearly from an article, because they said in October of 1999, Phil said, I don't mean to say that as a snide remark towards a certain population in our society, but they have a limitation of their attention span. A lot of it probably due to too much rap music going in their ears and coming out of their beans.
Should we apologize? Should we apologize to Scotty now?
Hold on. And in October 2005, when asked about dress code, he said, I think it's important that the players take their end of it, get out of their prison garb and their thuggery aspect of basketball that has come along with hip-hop music in the last 7 or 8 years. I'm just warning you right now. Well, I think it's
hilarious.
I think it's problematic to call Phil Jackson a racist based on a play selection for Tony Kukoc.
Right.
I don't think these quotes necessarily, because I know how people will use. We'll start digging. I got a feeling this is coming up today on a TV show.
Scotty's like, told you.
Hey.
The Kukoc shot was just the last. The Kukoc shot was the last straw. That was just. I got quotes from the man.
He said I was in the locker room with him. So, all right, Scotty, I'm willing to listen to more. If you've got something more, I'm not buying your book. I will warn you of that. But I'm not even going to get book on tape. But just to be fair about the matter, just to put it in a little more perspective.
All right. I'm okay with Scotty now. 814 ESPN 97.5.
I don't think those comments are going to sit well in 2021 now that they've been unearthed.
Oh, Phil. I wouldn't write any more books if I were you, Phil. I don't know. Because you know what? That's receipts. Books are receipts. 713-780-3776. John Clay Wolf joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How are you doing, John Clay Wolf?
Driving to the new office. We're moving uptown, boss man. We got us a new building. You know, uppity, uppity.
And you got a new office where, in Dallas?
It's in Dallas, between Dallas, out by the airport. We're going to move into it in about a week. So I'm just doing contractor Joe stuff here all week.
How you doing helping all these places and different cities and a new building and everything else? It's just, you must be, see, you're a lot busier than I am. I don't like to do all that work stuff.
I'll tell you, it's really fun. I've had a couple people try to buy this thing from me, and they've offered me plenty. And I'm just, dude, this is what I've been wanting to do all my life since I was probably 15. I mean, I opened my own bar when I was 19 in college, and I've been in business for myself probably since I was about 16. And I've always, this was always my dream to kind of create a household brand name and a big company, and I think we're pulling it off. So, yeah, I'm fun.
Are you by far the biggest car buyer in the country?
CarMax is the largest. Now, I'm by far the largest non-publicly traded, I guess, independent by far, yes.
Yeah. So, and guess what? If CarMax offers, you're going to beat that offer. Otherwise, you're going to send $100.
That's how we do it. And it all started right here, ironically, on this radio station. I think it's been 12 years ago since I started down there.
How about that? And in 12 years, the biggest non-publicly traded car buyer in the country. Maybe in the world. We don't even know that. Maybe in the world.
I think it's probably in the world. We will do I'm pretty certain we'll do $1 billion in revenue this year.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
It's all thanks to you, John Granato.
It is. It's basically because of me.
Your weapon.
No, I agree with you. It's basically because of me. It's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf. If you want to sell your car, John Clay Wolf is here for you at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Talk to you again.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I don't think I've heard a quicker 180 on radio in my life. Good job, guys. Yeah, Scottie Pippen, that's horrible. You don't call somebody a racist. Wait, oh, he's right. Never mind.
I mean, I just go where the facts take me.
Never mind.
And I'm not calling Phil a racist. I'm saying some of the things he wrote are going to...
Yeah.
I think Phil is a little... I think he has a tendency to prejudge, which is the same as maybe being prejudiced. Like, okay, all you people have bad attention spans because of the rap music getting in your ear.
Yeah, in the backcourt that was black, plays black basketball.
I call it a black court.
And the and the front court,
plays
the white court,
basketball.
Plays white basketball.
Jerry Lucas, Phil Jackson, and Bill Bradley.
They played white basketball.
White basketball.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oscar Robertson?
No.
Black basketball. Not on the same team.
Court. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in his time frame.
Yeah.
Elgin Baylor.
Well, Clyde.
Clyde Drexler, Clyde Frazier. All the Clydes.
Clyde Frazier.
Every Clyde plays black basketball. They play, backcourt.
What does Phil think about the way Clyde dresses today? Clyde Frazier.
Well, he can't blame it on rap music. I don't know what he's going to blame those suits on.
And then Scotty's just scorched earth everywhere. He's talking about Charles Barkley. He only got arrested for throwing some little white guys out of a window. I ain't never seen him fight a black man unless there were referees around. He plays his role like he's tough. I don't know nobody he done whooped.
What is he? First of all, I think it was a Hispanic guy.
And it wasn't through a window, out a window. It was into a glass mirror or something.
Is that what it is?
It was in a bar, and it, like, there was a partition of a window or something. He didn't throw him out a window.
So he's making that racial, too. He won't fight black people.
Say,
the toughest race. Wait a minute. Where'd you learn that from, Scotty?
Phil. Phil told me.
Phil told me.
Right.
I'm done with Scotty trying to sell. But if you're Scotty Pippen, I guess, what do you care if people don't? If people just think you're this, that, or that. If you sell your books, what do you care? I think Scotty's right now just saying, I'm going to be as controversial as possible. I think he is naturally salty, and he's going to sell his books, and that's it. And take his shots, and you know what? I'll bet I'll be on radio if I call Phil Jackson racist. I'll bet I'll be on radio if I go after Charles Barkley, and he's going to be right.
Or maybe he actually believes Phil is racist.
He may actually believe that. He may actually believe all of this, but to Scotty's point, why would you even hide it if you know that saying these things, it is going to get him on TV. Correct. 100% radio. The Charles Barkley thing, there will be an answer from Charles at some point. He knows that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Charles will come back. Are you kidding? Everybody's going to come back on Scotty. Everybody's going to come back on Scotty. Now, I don't know that. I think Phil Jackson would probably just sit this one out because there are receipts. There are plenty of receipts on this.
Hey, now that I have all the data, now that all the data has been parsed, maybe Phil just stays doing what Phil's doing. You know, Phil follows me on Twitter.
Phil Jackson does?
It's the most random Twitter follow I have, is that Phil Jackson follows me. And it's not like Phil Jackson's like Christian Fuchs or Wheels Up or who is it that was in the movie Go? There's another, the black guy who he's been in Hedwig's Angry Inch. He was, God dog it. Hold on, I'll pull his name out. He follows like everybody on Twitter that you could possibly imagine. He used to be kind of a big deal. I thought he was going to end up being a big star. Hold on, I'll pull the name for you. Go, not Sarah Polley, not Joe Moore. Do you watch a movie Go?
Go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. It's kind of like a party movie. Came out in 99, 2000, around then, but it was good. Young Katie Holmes is in it. She's going pretty strong. How are you not helping me with the name here? Tay Diggs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Tay Diggs is, well, it's not one of those situations. Phil Jackson follows like 140 people or something weird like that, and I'm one of them, and I don't know how. And there's one other guy who I know, a guy named Ryan Burns, who goes by Football Sickness. And the other day, we were on direct. I hadn't talked to him for probably 2 or 3 years, even on Twitter. He said something to me, and I direct messaged him, and I said, hey, do you have any idea why Phil Jackson follows us? He goes, dude, I have no idea why Phil Jackson follows us. I don't know if he randomly, like, hit follow buttons accidentally when he first started.
Didn't know how to NFL content.
I don't think so. I don't know. I honestly don't have any idea why Phil Jackson is following me. Mm. I don't know. And now I'm not sure I love it.
Well,
and now I think people are going to
try everybody.
Oh yeah, of course Lance is. Of course Lance is this.
Look who follows
him. Of course he's got. Of course he has Derek King as a wide receiver. Look who's following him. Phil Jackson. Whoa, I told you. Like, oh, no. But Derek is going to be a wide receiver. He's 5'9", like 185 pounds. He's not a quarterback.
He's also going to be rich.
I can already tell you. Yeah, he'll be college rich.
Yep.
When y'all see what Derek King is going to make, and it'll come out on July 1st, a lot of people who are like, it's time to take care of these players and let them just have a little extra money to get Takis and hot Cheetos and stuff like that and whatnot so they can take their dates to movies.
I just wanted to say Takis and hot Cheetos.
First of all, nobody said that.
No. Just because of hot Cheetos and Takis. No. We hadn't heard the jam for a while.
But Nick Saban's going to make $9 million this year.
No, but
How about share a little, Nick?
The idea that he'll have to.
So there'll be multiple. So Nick Saban will be facing a millionaire when they play each other.
Yes. Oh yes,
yeah.
He will be facing a millionaire.
Will be, no, he will. No.
I think there's a chance that Derek King will make more in college football than pro football, 100%. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. Like people in the league think that too.
Oh, if he's around for a couple 3 years, he'll.
I don't know that he is. How long did Braxton Miller make it?
No. Greg Ward's still around, right?
The difference is Greg Ward is, and the difference is people forget Derek King played wide receiver at Houston too.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got a skill set, I think, that might – he's just got to make sure he keeps his – Dell, one thing I thought was a little strange. I don't want to get too far into the geeky Miami quarterback, former Houston quarterback rabbit hole. I didn't think he was quite as elusive and quick twitch explosive last year as a runner as I expected him to be. Am I wrong on that?
As he was here?
Yeah, I think so, as he was here. Am I wrong on that?
He was bigger in the upper body. I think he's actually, from what I can tell, I mean, the guy's actually putting out those videos, moving around, so I don't think there's any question he'll be ready week one the way he's moving. No brace or anything.
This is obviously before all the knee injuries.
Yeah, I think he was a little heavier last year. I think he has dropped some weight, so we'll see what he looks like this year. But he looks in great shape. You don't know, he tore his ACL in the bowl game. And people were questioning whether he'd be able to play in week one or even be ready for camp. Miami said he always would be. And the dude is going through quarterback drills on his own, training and stuff. And
I will eventually have to take some heat at some point for saying De'Aaron King is a wide receiver and people will get on board. I don't think it's going to be any different than – it's not going to be any different than Greg Ward, except for the fact that he's going to be a more accomplished quarterback, I think, at Miami. But, I mean, he's short, he's small. And he really doesn't have a plus arm. I mean, it's just there's nothing that's going to. The difference is, I do think De'Aaron King can make it in the league as a wide receiver because he does have a background. He played wide receiver and quarterback at Houston.
But isn't if Kyler has success?
No, he's not Kyler. He doesn't throw like Kyler. It's not even just to say they're the same because they're short and black. That's not even remotely close.
No. But he doesn't. He was listen.
Kyler's got an arm.
Here, the last year, the four games he played, he was terrible.
Kyler's got, and Derek had his moments of good and moments of bad at Miami last year. I've seen him throw into different players I've looked at. Derek King is not going to be a pro quarterback, but just because the guy is short. Now, Spencer Rattler is going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler's 6 foot plus, right?
I guess he is. He feels six is
He's the, bigger than Derek.
He's bigger than King.
Kyler.
He's bigger. Is he bigger than Baker? Kyler?
I
think he's Baker size.
He's six. Well, they list him at 6'1". He's at least 6 foot plus. As. I think he's at least 6 foot plus. So he's not going to have.
He's
those,
about Baker size.
Yeah.
Or maybe
I think he's
Baker
bigger. Size.
I don't know how.
Is
big,
Baker going to kill him?
I think he's Baker size.
Baker going to ruin his
but
shot.
Kyler Murray was a little guy, but Kyler Murray had a live arm and could really spin it. Yeah. Like really spin it. Yeah. That's not what Derek. And if Derek could. Then I would, be more open to it. Right. But De'Aaron doesn't really spin.
Well,
it.
Next time my comp for De'Aaron King is probably going to be Josh Allen because I want to be.
Yeah. Racially
sensitive.
Well, what about Eli Manning?
It could be
Philip Rivers.
Yeah,
Doug Flutie.
But Doug Flutie. Flutie could.
I've been using Flutie. I can't use Fluties anymore. There's only so many Fluties I can use.
Julian Edelman.
I don't think he has that kind of twitch. We'll see.
What? He was a kick returner, wasn't he?
No. I mean, if he shows out, yeah, it could be Randall L. Randall L's another one. But no, if I want to cross racial, yeah, I have to say Julian Edelman or Wes Welker. But Julian's
Wes
a former.
Was
Julian
never
played
really
quarterback. So if I want to use the quarterback thing,
yeah.
I could say Antoine Randall L, and then I'll catch heat for not saying Julian Edelman.
Right. Yeah, Julian Edelman is.
That's the world we live in.
Make sure you.
Yeah,
I'm going to love your draft process talking about a likely undrafted free agent when you comp him to somebody, and when Derek King is steadfast in saying he's a quarterback, and you keep telling everyone he's a wide receiver, and how that goes for you.
Yeah, that's going to work out well.
I'm going to love
Phil
that for you, Phil.
It's going to
8:29, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. We got Dusty reasoning why Belak was in there. We'll break that down on the other side right here. Yeah, the guy that gave up five runs, that guy, why he was in the game.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're without the back end of our bullpen, really didn't, we can't kill those guys. We got to depend on other guys, that are here. We didn't have Stanek today. He'd gone 2 days in a row. We didn't have Presley. We were trying to save. We had taken the lead in the eighth. We went to Rayleigh, who's kind of on fumes also. We were hoping that we'd get through the ninth and then score and not have to use Rayleigh or anybody. But, the plans didn't work.
No, they didn't work because we got B-lacked. Now, listen, are they playing? Yes, they're playing down to their competition. They are. They're gonna, even if they win these last two games against Baltimore, they're still gonna have a losing record against Texas, Detroit, and Baltimore this year. They will, if they win these last two games, they'll be 7-3 in this 10-game run. But they look bad this weekend against Detroit. They look bad last night. It's whatever. There's blips in the season, but man, it is really amazing that they go through this kind of thing. Against these kind of teams, they should be wiping the floor with these guys. It's not. It's baseball. And guess what? You're going to win 60. You're going to lose 60. And then what happens in the other 40? I love the way that they play. I really do think. Yeah, the place. My buddy was there last night. Justin was there, and he said the place is dead. It's dead. The atmosphere is dead. And these guys get up for big atmosphere, big games. These guys they're special when it comes to. Important games and pressure situations. It might be some of that. It also might be 162 games, and you're not going to be great. Greinke wasn't good last night. He just wasn't. This Orioles lineup, he should be. But I think Greinke probably plays right into him. He can't hump it up at 100. These guys are not, for the most part, they're not major league hitters. So when you're getting up to 87 to 90. Hey, this is, we can hit this guy.
Yeah. Greinke's got to be fine.
He's got to. I mean, Greinke's got to be fine with his control, because if he's not, this is the Zach Greinke you get. Just and let's not act like Baltimore can hit. That's not a good lineup. But Greinke gave up 8 hits and 3 runs and 5 innings pitch. He was not that sharp. They were touching him up a little bit. And really, I mean, they got to Taylor, Scrub got through an inning without giving up a run, which is, felt miraculous. Yes, Andre Scrub is back, ladies and gentlemen, in case you missed the game. He's back from Sugarland. And then, of course, Belak pulled the Belaks. So it was one of those games. You just hope that's all it is. We know sometimes that Greinke's going to have these games that are just eh. And when that happens, though, you don't want a bullpen to screw it up, but it's not. Look, your bats tried to help you out there late in the game, but you just didn't hold up, and then they tried to, you were down too much by the time you got to the ninth inning. Even though you scored 3 runs, it was irrelevant. So the Astros lose 9-7, and on to the next one. I don't want to focus on it too long. The Astros are playing good baseball. It's just that, as you mentioned, they've lost 3 of 4.
Yeah, they lost 3 out of 4. It's a bad little stretch. They're going to win these two games. They're better. They're going to play better. There's no reason that they shouldn't win these two games, and they'll finish 7-3 against these teams. But it's just been an ugly little run. And then you go on to Cleveland. Cleveland is really struggling. They've lost their top 3 starters. They lost their right fielder the other day. They're going to have a rough time of it. They've been playing adequate, decent baseball. The American League Central isn't very good, so that's why they're hanging around. The White Sox are an okay team. They got slapped around here, but they got to get it back together. I know that not every game you got it. It's hard to get up for every game, and it's hard to be as great as you are. But this team is better than this. Uncle Mike 1-for-6. Carlos Correa now going through a little bit of a. This it's baseball. It's every day, so you can't be great every day. But let's kick the Orioles' ass. Stop fooling around. That's just enough of this.
I know.
Enough of this.
Beat
Detroit.
The brakes off them like you did in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah. Just do that. And by the way, Dusty's not bad. He's not bad because he put Belak in last night. I love AJ's analogy. You go to the fridge, and there's just a bunch of old rotten stuff in there. Now make me dinner. What? With this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does every time he goes to the bullpen.
Yep.
So let's get through this little time. On July 5th, they get a day off, and we can go back to a 5-man rotation. We can get through the All-Star break, go back to a five-man rotation, and send somebody to the bullpen. And then, Jim Click, what? Now make a trade, bring in either a really top-notch reliever or Max Scherzer. The problem is the Nats are playing pretty good baseball, so I don't know that they're giving up on Scherzer. They're just probably going to let him walk. And that's a problem.
You think? Well, you almost don't have any choice.
No, because they're in the hunt. They're not a bad team. It's actually a decent lineup. And they're not a bad team. So that's a problem, is that they're playing pretty decent baseball.
That's the thing, is you can't just give up at this point right now. No, you
I want them to
the
suck.
The Nats would need to go down. Yeah. The Astros are not going to be able to afford them. It was another team. Well, more than likely, the Astros will just say, well, Josh James is like getting a free agent. And Baez is going to be like getting a free agent. And if Verlander comes back, you know, that's like getting not a free agent, but a deadline deal. That's how they'll think. And plus, there's other teams with much better minor leagues.
We need them to start falling apart. And they've got a whole another month to do it, but they're 500 team and they're only three games out of first in the NL East. They're not going to be a wild card team. The Dodgers and the Padres are pulling away from everybody as far as that goes. Both wild cards are coming from the West. With the Giants have 50 wins, the Dodgers have 48, and the Padres have 47. So, and the Padres are still four games back. But then the next wild card is the Cubs at 42. It's just, that's not, I don't see the Cubs, they're five games over 500. Obviously, they can compete, but the both wild cards are coming out of the West. So the Nats don't have that. If the Mets can possibly pull away before the deadline, then, you know, you got a chance at a Scherzer.
I just don't think Scherzer's going to be an Astro. I can't see the Astros having enough. If other teams want Scherzer, which clearly he is going to be, if it's a bidding war, the Astros lose. They just don't have the minor leaguers to do it. Now, I don't think Leon is going anywhere. I was reading an article about the Astros' attempt to turn Leon into a shortstop, and I think he's a guy that's probably untouchable, even though, do you know how old Pedro Leon is?
No one
is?
Does.
23.
It's impossible to know.
Yeah, 23? Maybe. That's way older than...
Maybe.
Yeah. And they're trying to turn him from an outfielder into a shortstop, and I think, obviously, it's because they realize that, you know, they realize the reality is Carlos is probably going to be gone, and so that could be their shortstop of the future. I don't think they're going to touch a guy who might be the shortstop of the future. Do you? Like, I think he's going to be untouchable. If they consider him, they spent a bunch of money on him to bring him over, relatively speaking. I mean, a bunch of money. They gave him, I think it's $4 million, which is good money early on to bring him over as a young prospect or as a prospect. And he's at a position of potential future need. I just don't think they have made this. I don't think they're going to go, hey, let's throw that away so we can get a 37-year-old pitcher. I don't think they're going to look at it like that. They've already done that multiple times now. I don't think they're going to do it again. I don't think the Astros will even be in contention for Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Astros can even come to the table. Like, if you've got to get, like, a big poker game that you go to, they tell you, okay, the buy-in is, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. I don't think the Astros even get to the table on the buy-in. I don't think the minor leagues system is strong enough to even get them in there, because can you imagine what the market's going to be for Scherzer? It's going to be big for Scherzer.
Well,
big time.
And again, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how much you...
I mean, it's one of the worst minor leagues in baseball, the Astros.
Yeah, they do have some players, though. We'll see. We'll see. All I know is Jim Crane has never been shy about adding a big name to win it all. And you know what? This window is closing. This window is with Carlos Correa and George Springer both going to be gone, with Verlander going to be gone, with Greinke going to be gone. The window, the opportunity is closing, and I haven't seen anything that tells me that Jim Crane won't go for it, because he has. He has in the past, and I don't know. They came up with did anybody think that they were getting Verlander?
But Jim is also not...
He's not a dumb baseball guy. Jim's a smart baseball guy. Drayton was dumb. Jim Crane also recognizes baseball in strengths, weaknesses.
I don't think it would be a dumb thing to get Scherzer. That's not a dumb thing.
I don't think it would be a smart thing to further gut a minor league system when you know that all of those old guys that you're talking about, Scherzer, Zach Greinke, and Verlander, are all going to be gone in very short order.
Yeah, and you're going to have a lot of money. You spend some on minor league system, so you go and get some free agents.
You never want to be in the situation. This is why Jim Crane will never do that. He's not. That's dumb baseball.
He gave up four of his top guys for Greinke.
I know. You can't keep doing that over and over and over. The point I'm making is you have to build with homegrown guys because it's the best option. It's how the Astros just got done winning.
Why would you go for it when you got a chance? And he has.
You have gone for it. Absolutely.
And he has. 844 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. If you're an underdog, you play your hand tight, Lance.
Underdog fantasy football. It's underdog fantasy sports. I mean, right now I've been going in on basketball. They've got the two game tournaments. It's, you know, you've got the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference finals each game. So they add those up. You can have real drafts, which is what I love. Real drafts. It's not where you're picking guys who have certain, you know, a certain price tag on them, and a lot of the teams are exactly the same. You're actually drafting players. So if you're good at figuring out who's going to have the big games and maybe who's going to have the disappointing games, you have the big advantage. If you're skilled, you got a chance to really win with Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com. You can see the website. But it's very simple. Download the Android or the Apple version of it, you know, in the iTunes. Go at the App Store. Go get that app. And then go sign up. When you make your first deposit, use the promo code radio. When they ask for a promo code, they're going to give you a $25 bonus. You can do with it what you want, but might I suggest putting it towards playing your basically a free position in that Best Ball Mania 2. It's a season-long fantasy football contest where you have a chance at winning part of $3.5 million worth of prizes. So make sure you get in on that. Basketball, hockey, football, baseball, they've got it all. They've got head-to-head. They've got rivalry. They've got over-unders with point totals and total bases and strikeouts. It's all there in one spot. UnderdogFantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, this is awkward. They both left. John's just taking a seat again. Welcome back, John. And John can't turn on his own mic, so I have to do it for him.
I don't touch that.
Why?
Because other people here touch that button.
So other people here adjust that mic and you do that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I never touch that mic.
Yeah, it never happens.
Yeah. Did you see how sick Charlie was last week?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think I want those? His cooties?
You've never... What? There are multiple people in between you and Charlie using that mic.
So? It's still... I don't know if you heard, but those germs still stay
around. And Charlie actually uses the disinfectant stuff to wipe it down.
I do, too. But it doesn't...
So don't worry about Charlie's cooties.
Yeah. I don't want that. Gradu. Okay? Stop already.
Stop already. Using your finger is the reason, but you'll talk into a microphone he talks into.
Yeah. Jackie says he saw a story that Scherzer would need to be extended if he was going to approve the trade. Okay. You take Scherzer and give away Verlander and Greinke. I'll take Scherzer for the next 3-4 years here at the top of this rotation. Done. I'm in. I'm all in. Let's go. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul George last night, he joins some elite company first 18 games of the playoffs, 20 points in all 18 games. Michael Jordan did that three times. Kobe Bryant did it in 2008. Kevin Durant did it in 12 and 18. And now Paul George. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, and Paul George. You know, is Paul George one of the most disrespected stars in the game? I think probably.
I don't think he was. I think over the last 3 years, there's been some. He's become kind of a meme. I think, unfortunately, his issues with anxiety during the pandemic and during the bubble and all that stuff. I think he was kind of made fun of.
Playoff P.
Yeah, and so
Is he playoff P? Now he joins these guys.
Hey, let me tell you, if you get to the NBA Finals and you dig out of the holes that you dug out of. If you're able to do that twice, really, frankly, three times, but the last two, and the last two have had no Kawhi Leonard when it was nut cutting time, you can't do anything but big him up. There's nothing you can say.
How much is Chris Paul gripping right now? Up 3-1 again, and the possibility. Of not getting to the NBA Finals.
If he drops a 3-1 lead again.
Oh, my God.
And honestly, he played fine yesterday. He shot 8 of 19. Didn't shoot the greatest. He was 1 of 6 from 3. Chris is 0
for 6 from 3.
Oh, 0 for 6, yeah. He had 1 the game before and then 2 before that. But Chris is just not shooting it well from 3 right now. He was fine in all other aspects. Devin Booker was finally good yesterday, but it didn't matter because Ayton wasn't a factor. It's like they got to get all three of those guys playing well to close this series out. But if you look at Cam Payne, I pulled this up. Cameron Payne, his first two games, he was 5 of 10 and 12 of 24. He had 11 points and then 29 points. He had 9 assists in each of those games. That's with Chris Paul out. In the last three, and I remember he rolled his ankle after 4 minutes. He was 1 of 4 in the game. He rolled his ankle after 4 minutes, so he was out the rest of the game. The last two games that he has played, he's played 20 and 13 minutes. He is 4 of 14 from the floor, 2 of 4 from three-point line. He has 5 total assists. So he has been a complete non-factor in the last two, really in the last three, but one of them was when he first got injured.
Well, I think this is what started this whole Fred and Nick thing, was that Fred and Nick said, I don't know that they're going to be as effective with Chris Paul coming back, and then Fred made comments about it or whatever. But if you know what the fact of the matter is they were clicking with Chris Paul out the first couple of games, and Cam Payne being a much bigger part of what they were doing.
Yeah,
he's younger, more athletic. He was feeling his oats. He was confident. His shot was good. Everything seemed he was getting everybody involved. The offense has gotten really stagnant with Chris Paul leading it now.
You know, it doesn't feel that way when I'm watching a game, though. I don't feel like it's a Chris Paul issue. I mean, a lot of Cameron Payne, when he was there, it was individual one-on-one takes. Like, it was really more about the game we're used to seeing with the Rockets. It was take moves, take moves, take moves off the dribble. Chris Paul's running an NBA offense like he did the whole year to get them in that position. The high screen and roll stuff, he usually gets off to a big start early on with assists. As he really concentrates on getting other guys open. I think the big adjustment is not, to me, it's much, much less about, well, Chris Paul and how the offense is running. I do think Cameron Payne running loose was very good in the first two games. But I think the bigger problem is that the Clippers have changed and altered how they're defending DeAndre Ayton. They're not giving him lob dunks anymore. They're not. They're going to sag off, and they're going to play the lob. So on the high screen and roll stuff, they are typically sagging and taking away easy dunk opportunities, and it's forcing the guards to either finish or you know, kick out somewhere. That's been, to me, a big strategic difference, is take away the lobs for Ayton and force Phoenix to earn their baskets more. I also think Phoenix, I don't know if it's by choice or – because Chris Paul, they played very fast the series before, but I think they have been slowed down too. And that's a big, big concern, because in the half court, while they do have Chris Paul and he's a good player, Devin Booker in three of the last four, last game he was good, but the three previous, not as good after he got his nose busted up. But this last game might show signs of him busting out of it. The difference is he had a good game, and they still got worked at home. I mean, the Clippers handled them fairly convincingly at home yesterday. So, I don't know. It's a good – I'm very interested in the series still. And I know Milwaukee, it feels like it's 2-1, and Milwaukee feels like they've got this insurmountable lead against Atlanta. Is it really insurmountable?
No. It's just we know that they're a better team. This argument came up on, I believe it was our station this weekend. Even if Atlanta wins, we know who the better team is. Well, in a seven-game series, you decide. Is it in hockey, you can get a hot goalie, and yeah. You can win it all. Look at Montreal. They were just an average team. You get hot, you can win it all. In basketball, does a seven-game series decide who's the better team?
Yeah. Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually. Seven. Five can be a little trickier. Seven, usually the best team's going to win.
I don't care where you are.
Or a team, it's not a hot hand player, it's a hot team. Like sometimes a team like the Rockets got hot. The Rockets weren't the best team when they won the second championship. They were a six seed. They hadn't played like the best team in the NBA all year long, not one time. But the Rockets got hot and played their best basketball at the end of the year. They figured out Rudy basically created the stretch four, which gave them a big advantage later in that playoffs. Clyde had some matchups that were favorable for him against the Utah Jazz and Jeff Hornacek. I mean, and then, you know, Dream had some moments where he was just unstoppable. So you just need a hot team to win it all. And I don't know who the best team is in this playoffs. I think right now people would tell you it's Milwaukee. Does that feel like a best team in the NBA, though? I don't get that vibe when I watch them, but that may be who it is. That's also why we have a lesser playoffs this year. There is no Kawhi Leonard. I don't think he's going to come back. The Suns right now are showing you that they're a young team because they went from being dominant to now, you know, they've lost two or three since Chris Paul came back. So it's a concern for you a little bit that they're not getting the consistent play. And some of it, once again, was Devin Booker also being hurt. But they can't get all the stars to align at the same time. They need, when all their stars play solid to good, they're going to be better than the Clippers. But if the Clippers are having a big game from Marcus Morris and Boogie Cousins and Paul George, you're not going to beat them. There's too many guys stepping up.
I just think people are grasping for what they know to be the previous iterations of the NBA where they can point to that super team, that dominant team, and know what to expect. When for a lot of the NBA, I mean, a lot of the NBA has been about the Bulls and then the Lakers, and then the Heat had their run, the Warriors had their run. This is a wide open league, and I don't know if people are kind of understanding and realizing that without super teams, teams can fluctuate from night to night. When you don't have an overwhelming talent advantage every night, these things happen. You know what would have happened if the Brooklyn Nets had every guy available? You would have had your team you can point to and go, they'll win this series. They're going to win. This is not the case currently because you don't have an overwhelming team currently in the playoffs, and that's just how it is. It's more like the NFL currently than it is basketball history the last 25 years. We have different champions practically every year. Now the Chiefs have been dominant in the AFC, but every year we have a different champion, unless you're the Pats. But there's always a representative from the NFC that's different. It's more NFL-like than it's been the last 30 years.
Yeah, there's no dominant teams. In theory, that's not a bad thing. For the sport, it shouldn't be a bad thing. We're so conditioned. Why do people on Sports Talk Radio hosts, why do general people at times on Twitter make comments, especially from teams after their team is lost and their team's a popular team, like Golden State? Well, let's see how the playoff ratings are. That's the dumbest argument in the world. Why does anyone, unless you work directly, unless your father directly works for TNT or ESPN or the league office, what do you care about TV ratings for? What in the world is that an argument for you? I mean, this is going to be one of the lowest rated finales of all
league.
This is going to be one of the lowest rated basketball. What? No one cares. This is going to be one of the lowest rated of all time.
Can I ask you two something?
So?
I don't know what every kid, particularly with basketball, will do that last second shot thing at their home and going 3-2-1, shoot at the buzzer. Do you go 3-2-1? Oh, my God, the markets in L.A. and Miami won't watch. No one does that as a kid. You just want to make the game-winning shot. Why do you care that the ratings are going to be low? Why would someone who says they're a sports fan care about that? Aren't you there just to watch the game?
Yeah. And hope if I like it, I'll watch it. If I don't, I won't.
Yeah, but I don't think to myself, man, this league's really hurting because L.A. and New York aren't in the finals. Why would I ever care about that?
No, but what pisses me off is the Astros, because no one watches them, get the 2 o'clock afternoon postseason
but
game every year.
But you love that. You don't care. You're off
no,
work.
No, I do. Then I'm done.
But yeah, what do you...
Get the drink all day.
Even that scenario, that's perfect for you.
I know. I'm off. Yeah, but I want everybody to enjoy our Astros.
Well, they do when they get to the ALCS and the World Series, which they always do.
Does everybody enjoy Craig the Surf? That's my question.
Yeah, everyone enjoys him. Probably his wife gets tired of him every once in a while, but that's only because he's high energy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if you don't like high energy people, then maybe he's not going to be, maybe Craig the Surf isn't going to be for you, but it's high energy in a good way. Like, not like a hyperactive kid on a playground type way. He's like in a positive way where he'll let you know good things are getting ready to happen for you. The market is good for you in the car buy-in business. They're going to help you find something. They'll even be – Rick Drenner is one of those guys who is, you know, runs all of his sales. Rick's one of those guys who will tell you flat out, hey, what are you looking for? Do you like lease? Do you like sales, pickup truck, whatever? Okay, here's what we have. Oh, you like lease better? Okay, well, why don't we wait because the lease market's not as good as it should be right now. We know we can get better. Let's wait. And I know that for a fact because they did that for me and my wife. And then after 3 months, I got this phone call out of nowhere where Rick said, hey, we got a really great deal on leases, a lease program from GM Financial. And what I ended up doing was getting a Chevy Traverse for her. We got her out of the vehicle that she was in that was a purchase vehicle, and we got into a lease with the Traverse, and it made perfect sense for us. And they'll do the same thing for you. They want you to be happy, whether you're getting the Chevy Silverado pickup truck or whether you're getting the GMC Sierra 1500, whether you're getting a smaller SUV or you want a larger SUV. It doesn't matter. They want you to be happy because your happiness is ultimately what's going to determine, you know, their sales satisfaction and how likely you are to get your next vehicle from there or to tell your friends and family members. So in Angleton, they've got the hookup. It's an extra few minutes ride, but it's also an extra few thousand in your pocket too. Go to the website LanceZCars.com to get started today.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.